Oh, this next guy is a stud. I love it. I love that he's here and he's wearing his cup hat. Our next guest, numerous awards in the food industry, including multiple James Beard Foundation Award nominations. He's competed on both Iron Chef and Top Chef Masters. He is a stud, and we are honored to have him in studio. It is Graham Elliott, and I love the fact that you wore your Cub hat.
Thank you. Yes, I sleep in it for good luck.
Yeah, you're always wearing a Cubs hat.
You know what? I also have a Whales hat, which is the Cubs before the Cubs, at Wegman Field before Wrigley Field, and this was during the Federal League days.
Wow, so you're old school.
Yeah, I love baseball history almost as much as I like the game.
Did you watch the game last night?
Of course.
Where were you?
I was at home.
What'd you make?
What did I make? You know what? This is amazing. I cooked off like some pork and, you know, like in bacon grease with chicken stock, and I cooked this whole thing down. Then what I do is I take my food, pull it out, and then I saute food for my dog in that same thing and all the drippings and give it to him.
Loves it.
And our neighbor's dog, his name is Schwarber. So that's why I was like, good luck. I got to make a plate of this and bring it to Schwarber. But it didn't work out, which means now, because as a superstitious fan, you can never make that again because that's why they lost.
Right. So. It's all your fault.
Always.
It is.
That's
it's
how
Graham Elliott's
everybody
fault.
Works that way.
Right, because I was watching out of my house and they lost because I wasn't watching at home.
That's what I'm saying.
Gosh,
of course.
Oh my God, I got to bring my dog over, Wrigley.
Is your dog's name Wrigley?
Yeah.
If I knew that, I would have brought some food in.
Shoot.
Wrigley.
He'll never
won.
Leave
and
your
then
house
if they won, I'd have to bring in like every game.
Every game, right. You'd be bringing Wrigley food.
Where are you guys going? We're going to Graham's house. I'm taking Wrigley.
Okay.
Wrigley's eating at Graham's house tonight.
Yeah, totally.
Dogs, they have a play date.
I grew up with food. I'm Lebanese, so my mother is probably cooking as I'm talking right now. So I grew up food and love. Jane is a huge cook. So it's fun to have you in studio. I mean, you just, when did you start cooking? Because you were a Navy brat just moving from city to city, right?
So I've been all over the world. I went to 15 schools, been to all 50 states, and that is really what formed my whole outlook on food and cooking. So not only trying new things, but appreciating how different religions, ethnicities, regions, you know, everybody has their own style of doing the best with whatever they have. And I really appreciate that. So I have a really open mind. So I've always loved trying things. And then at 17, got a job as a busboy dishwasher and found the whole anarchy pirate ship feel of a kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love with it and,
sure.
And have been on that path since.
It's crazy working in a kitchen at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
It's nuts.
And then you're traveling the world. 20 years ago is when you came to Chicago.
Yes.
So this is home.
Yes. So, yeah, December 98, I moved here to work for Charlie Trotter. And that was an incredible experience because if you remember, like maybe 3 days after I got here, we had like 2 feet of snow. Like, it was one of the most incredible snowfall storms ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get a couple inches of snow, like in Virginia where I was, everything shuts down, right? Mm-hmm. It's just done. Here, a lot of things shut down, even the airport, but we stayed open. And then what happened was anyone that came in to eat, where maybe 15 people, got like 1,000 courses, like we cooked for them the entire...
So much food.
Yeah, well, and just, you know, Charlie's whole idea was like, these people have braved the weather to come in here to eat. We're going to change their lives tonight. And then apparently he was really pissed off that Mayor Daley did not check with him first before closing the airport.
Oh.
So this gives you an idea of some of the ego we're dealing with in the kitchen.
What did you learn from Charlie? Because I've heard different stories from other chefs around the city that tough guy to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. But
he was a genius.
He was a genius. And it wasn't just, you know, here's how you warm up the pan and then put the butter in and some onions. It was more an idea and a philosophy that you carry with you through everything in life where every single thing is of equal importance. So the way you sharpen your knife, the way you season the food, the way you wipe up the cutting board after you cut something. So if he walked by and, you know, your towel wasn't folded right, he would say, this is an example of who you are as a person. Like, how do you sleep at night if the label isn't perfectly put on and the towel isn't folded and this isn't set over here and your pan's not wiped clean?
It's the details. It's
every
always
single
the
one.
Attention, the details,
yep.
Because if you pay attention to those details, the other things are going to come
that's
out
that's like
fine.
Being right. A really good coach.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he always talked about, too. He loved Phil Jackson and he loved, you know, what he called like field vision, where you come on and somebody like Michael Jordan can see a play 10 steps mm-hmm. ahead, and just being there makes everyone else play better. And so he created that feel that everyone that worked there when you left would become a chef. You weren't just a cook. It wasn't like as soon as you're promoted and given a title, then you start really caring like a chef.
Sure.
It's, you know, you are the only one in the country that makes these two dishes. It's you on a plate. You own it. You're the toughest critic that says, sorry, chef, this is burned. I got to redo this. I got to do that. So that when you go and become a chef down the street, you already have that exact mentality.
Well, I'm sure working under Charlie Trotter back in the day, there was a line of people. How'd you get in?
I literally sent about 15 letters asking if I could work there. Finally got a response, said, you can come to Chicago, work for free for a few days, see what you think. We'll see what we think of you. Came in. It was about a 15-hour day, cleaning mushrooms in the back corner. I'm like 20 years old. And then meet with Chef Trotter, and basically he says, this is what we'll pay you. This is what we do. And, you know, he was a big libertarian. So his idea was, that door over there in the back is always open. Like, this isn't a contract. You want to leave tomorrow? It's too hard for you. I yell at you. It's too many hours. Right. Go, because there's 500 people that will pay to come work here. You know, so
right.
It was an honor. It's like, the restaurant's open 5 nights a week, dinner only. So there's no people coming in the morning prepping for you and then someone covering you on your day off. It's like every single thing that happens in that restaurant on the grill or the fish station or pastry is you. So it's like your own little restaurant.
Did you feel like that was
sort of your boot camp? Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And you want to, you know, I wanted to quit every day. Like, it was,
of course,
brutal. And then you learn, just like in the military, they break you down to build you up their own way. So you start saying, like, yes, chef. No chef, you know, whereas I think for me, I used to sing and play guitar in a punk band. I was the tattooed guy, dropped out of school and got a GED because I hated the system, you know, like, so the fact of someone telling you what to do immediately made me want to go the opposite direction.
Of course.
And then you learn, like, no, you are a part of this big, you know, symbiotic kind of team and an organism that moves as one. So if you do not follow the path, then you will not fit in here. So,
and it's interesting too, because just having met a lot of chefs in Chicago, so many chefs came out of that kitchen.
Yes.
They all tell the same story.
Yep.
It's about, you can work for 3 days for free. If you don't like it, the door's open, you
right.
can leave. And it was really like a test. It
yeah.
was like your military.
And what's amazing, think of New York, think of Yountville, where you've had the French Laundry and Thomas Keller and Grand Ackett's. Mm-hmm. All these guys came through there, but they all leave. New York, you've Danielle and Eric Repair and all these restaurants, people will work there and go other places. In Chicago, myself, Matthias Merges, Bill Kim, Giuseppe Tentori, Mindy Siegel, every single one of these people came through Chicago with Charlie
right.
Trotter's.
Mindy
and,
was
yeah,
at,
yeah, and pastry. Rick Tremonto, Gail Gann, and they all stayed here and opened their own things, which I think is a massive testament to Chicago
sure.
as a city.
Sure.
Where people support fellow Chicagoans here, like more than any city you can think of. And talking about baseball, you go to New York and the Yankees get, you know, a new player and everyone hates them until
of course,
finally,
until
they, you know, I got beat up and now you have to, and it's part of the deal. Chicago, we get Bryce Harper tomorrow, everyone's got a Harper jersey and it's like his biggest
of course.
Fan. Which
right.
is amazing. It's
right.
great as a city.
You're like Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman. They break him down, and then he becomes a great officer.
Yes.
Walks away
in
with
Chicago,
Deborah Winger.
I have nowhere else to go.
And Chicago has really become a food – I mean, we're always a food city, but we're
right.
really a food city. People come here as a food destination.
Yes, and chefs come here to work, and then chefs stay. And so much of it is the clientele and the city and the people here, but also the economics of it. So you can go and get a space on – you know, Fulton Market or somewhere, and it's $7,000 a month. And that same spot in New York would be $40,000. So
wow.
you can afford to be more artistic,
right.
creative, push the envelope, do your thing versus be open 7 days a week, lunch, dinner, brunch, you know, and having to serve well-done salmon and rack of lamb because that's what the customer wants. So it's a better relationship and being a little more artsy here, which is what keeps people here.
Right.
We were excited about you coming in, but this is so much fun. I mean, just to get a peek inside of the whole Charlie Trotter experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard about it for years. People that, you know, love restaurants in downtown Chicago. It's just, wow.
But yeah. but not only that, like Graham Elliott, like, okay,
right.
after Charlie Trotter, like you open up restaurants,
mm-hmm.
plural,
yeah.
and you've become a celebrity chef and we see you on TV. So like the whole journey, I could literally talk to you for an hour.
I mean, we talked 10 hours about how and the hell did chefs become cool and like go on TV?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I have a 12-year-old. All he watches is food shows.
I know. That's we did the kids show, and it's 8 to 13-year-olds, but instead of ballet or gymnastics or soccer, they want to cook. They want to watch shows on cooking. They want to go on YouTube and learn. And 90% of the parents are like, I've never eaten any of these things. They cook better than I do. I just try to support it. And so you go to the store.
We do it at our house. Absolutely.
Your kid's like, I want to cook Moroccan this week. And I want to try out some parsnips. And it's like, all right, I don't know what they are, but let's try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you always want them to stay excited and push them and kind of cheerlead it. And that's what we've done on the show. And when we first started it, it was, okay, everyone wants to watch kids. It'll be cute. They decorate cupcakes. First episode, you saw what they were making, and we had to go back and have a meeting of how do we make this harder, because they
can already do it.
Yeah, they're just younger. They're literally, you see that kids, and you know, I have three boys, 5, 7, and 10, and they are little people, you know, and you're pushing up, but I mean, they know who they are already. They have their own style and their way of doing everything,
and they want to get after it. Yeah, definitely.
It's amazing.
Graham Elliott in studio with us. This is great having you. We're going to have
you stick
around for
so
a little bit longer. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Chef Graham Elliott also joining us in studio. Jane just made Graham you just didn't make it. You presented it to him. An apron, and
she made it.
And I made it. So I take old T-shirts and I turn them into aprons. And so I had three Cubs shirts, and you're a huge Cubs fan. So I thought, you're a chef. And you're a Cubs fan, I have to give you this apron.
It's amazing. I'm actually editing the photo now to post it. So everyone, Graham Elliott with one T on Insta.
Insta. I love Insta.
One T.
What are you doing with the Cubs? What's this pop-up thing? What do you got going on?
I did a pop-up at Wrigley where I did my version of ballpark food. And you know what? It was cool to do a show last year with MLB where you go to different ballparks and you see the food and you highlight it. But coming back to Wrigley, you know, it's... The hot dogs are not incredible. You know, the food that they serve, you know, tortillas, chips with cheese sauce. It can be a lot better.
Yes.
It's ballpark stuff. But, you know, the Ricketts family and Brad Johnson, who oversees the food and beverage department, and Levy Restaurants Now, everyone got together and said, you know what, this could be so much better, and we need to represent it. And
it would
be just as cool as the ballpark and everything else. So we went in, and it was almost like a culinary bullpen. They had a different chef. It was me and Stephanie, Rick Bayless, Matthias Mertes, all of us coming in. Doing like a little temporary stay, you know, like a week or two.
Yeah.
And so I got to do this whole menu, and I got to be there every game and talk to everyone and cook food, and it was amazing.
You get free tickets to the playoff games next week, don't you?
No, they're not free, but I get
to
go.
We should all go since the three of us are now fast friends.
Yes, I agree. Let's find a way. I cannot wait.
You are a huge MLB fan.
Yeah.
Cubs got your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But you did a segment, and I watched it on, I don't remember what it was on, but I watched it, and it was you going around talking about the best pizza at the different ballparks?
Yeah, well, pizza, burgers, you know, all that stuff, which is so cool because, you know, you have restaurants and chefs, and their whole idea now is, I want to keep it local, I want to keep it sustainable, and really highlight the region. So you go to... see the Nats in D.C., and they've got food from the Chesapeake Bay, and they've got stuff from Shenandoah Valley. Like, really amazing restaurant-quality dishes. And then you go to St. Louis, and it's like, well, we've got this whole Italian community, so we're doing handmade meatballs served in a savory cone, you know, with Parmesan grated all over the top. And just things that are super fun, really tasty, and you get inspired by that. And that's why you come back, and how do we do this here?
Right.
You know?
Now I'm just hungry.
I know.
You should have brought in food next time. Man.
So, well, talking about food, let's talk about your restaurants.
Yes.
So, how many currently do you have open?
We're about to open two. One here in the West Loop on Randolph, and one in Macau in China. So, really exciting. And, Macau, 16-hour flight, and then an hour ferry from Hong Kong.
We'll open one on Randolph and one in Hong Kong.
So, I'll see. Yeah, which one are you going to first?
Right.
Yeah. But the one on Randolph, it's Gideon Suite, and it's basically... going to be a high-end cocktail bar, a bunch of small little bites, and it's a collaborative effort between Matthias Mertes, my old mentor at Charlie Trotters, and myself with their folk art restaurant group. So,
and when does that open?
Probably first or second week in November.
Okay.
Oh, so really soon.
Really soon.
We're in 100%.
Yeah,
please
we'll
do.
Come to the party. So
we're
in. You're being reunited then.
Yes.
With...
And it feels so good.
Yeah.
I swear. That was quick.
That was good.
Not bad. I like it. And what TV shows do you have going on right now?
So right now I'm doing Top Chef and then Top Chef Junior, which aired last night, actually. So really cool, really exciting. And this is a show that I started on as a contestant at Top Chef Masters 10 years ago. To come back now full circle and be a judge is really cool.
So it's Top Chef season 15, and this is your second year judging?
Yes, exactly.
Because it's my 15th season of being a fan.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So again, to hang out with Padma and Gail.
Always
and Tom.
Always the first name off everyone's lips.
Uh-huh. I know. It's so fun. So what's so neat about that show, too, is that you're hitting different markets, different, you know, viewers. So I have, you know, my wife, Allie, and her friends will say, well, Tom's really cool, but I love Padma. That's why I watch. And then there's other people that are like, you know, Padma's great or whatever, but I mean, Tom's the greatest chef in the world. So you're seeing different people watching for different reasons.
Oh, sure.
So
absolutely.
So Gail is on as a judge, and she's been on a long time as a judge.
Yes, since the beginning.
And will you, do you guys rotate in? Are you a judge on every single?
I'm a judge, I think, on like 8 of them. And so is Gail. So, okay. You know, it's because
they rotate in other chefs.
They do, yeah, here and there. And there's different challenges per episode, things like that. So
I love it.
I think it's great. And here's the thing is with MasterChef that I was on for 10 seasons, films in L.A., it used to be 10 episodes, then 12, then 20, and then the junior one with the kid. And so I would have to move to L.A. and be there to do this and don't want to leave Chicago. Kids go to school here. It's where I live. It's where my house is. And the other thing is with TV, it's like any other kind of like quote unquote celeb thing. You believe in it and all of a sudden it's gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like the show's canceled. This happens. That happens. So
we've all been there.
That's what anything like that. So you really, you can't pursue that. For me, it could all end tomorrow and I still just work in a restaurant.
Right.
I live in Chicago. That's everything else is just bonus.
Is Top Chef season 15, is it done filming?
It is. So it's all
done.
In the
can. So you know the winner.
All wrapped. And I do know the winner and we did it all in Colorado over the summer. So what was really cool, though, is it was literally about 150 steps from Coors Field. So I got to go to million Rockies games.
I love that you're a baseball fan. I would do the same thing. I love it.
Why not? And it's literally like $15 a ticket. You just walk in and you go and like catch a game.
God.
So cool.
Any good standouts from Chicago that we should be looking out in season 15?
Joe Flam, who's from here.
Did you know him before?
I did not.
Uh-huh.
So he's been with Tony Montuano over at Spiaggia for a long time. Fellow Southsider, right?
Okay.
Like the whole Beverly area. And that's where I'm at. So really cool to be introduced to him and what he does through the show versus here in Chicago. So, yeah, really cool.
Lollapalooza, how'd you hook up with them?
So because I have more of a music background, I used to play, and I love all these bands. I invite them into dinner. Perry Farrell and Charlie Jones from C3 came into dinner, and they're like, you know, we love what you do. We want you to be part of this. You want to do, like, one of the little booths that we offer, you know, next year. And I was like, absolutely. So we did lobster corn dogs and truffle popcorn and stuff. And then they said, you know, we try to be at the forefront of the music fests all over the country. We want to be the best Bonnaroo in the world. We want to be the better than Coachella. We need to do food stuff and up it. Do you want to like oversee all that and kind of be like the culinary director? And it was like, absolutely. So next year we picked 25 restaurants that we thought were like indie spirited, Chicago only, focusing on this area. And now we're going to be doing like year 10 next year.
I love Lollapalooza.
Awesome. How do you
Isn't it so cool?
I just love live music. And to be able to walk around Grant Park and you could stop at any stage, it's wonderful.
Yes.
And people think, oh, my God, you got to fight the crowds. It's not that bad.
No.
Once you get in the gate, it's just like you're you would be like at a, I'm trying to think, like a street fair.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
And it's, what's really cool for me is that like everyone's kind of equal, you know, where you go in, black, white, young, old, skinny, fat, whatever. You've got freedom to kind of be wherever you want at any stage to watch it. And it's not like pay a million. You can go on the stage and hang with. It's like, no, I'm up there on the front. I'm trying to walk around, see what bands I like. I'm hanging out on the side.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's great. And so you get to catch whoever you want.
God, we could talk to you for another hour. We got
to
go.
Graham Elliott?
I know.
I never take it for granted for a second. Honestly, I think I have literally beat the system to be able to pay bills by enjoying music and being part of that and like TV stuff and trying to inspire people and then work in a restaurant
and doing what you love.
Exactly.
And
baseball
food
baseball. To go and meet, you know, I got to go in the clubhouse and meet Joe Madden and Chris Bryant. I'm standing there like,
jeez,
this is the coolest thing on the planet. Like, you never try to be like, well, I'm on TV too. And we're all kind of, it's like, no.
That's
like,
why people love you, because you're so humble and you know, you feel like you lucked out. Which is great.
Absolutely. I had Morrissey come in the restaurant. Oh, that's like, so oh my God. Cool. I like changed
Morrissey
my life.
In the restaurant? Hey, what'd you think of that play last night, the out at plate?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, right? I am a purist when it comes to, like, even if the umpire makes the bad call, like, you go with the umpire. I don't like all the technology and the replay and the call.
You
and whatever.
Are a purist.
So
I am. Too.
I like the romance of baseball and the history and the fact that 120 years ago, you had the same hat, uniform, dimensions,
yep.
bat. Everything.
Now, I'm with
it's
you.
Not all completely redone. So if you go back and you look at the absolute rule that's written in the book, it that's it. It's not up to somebody to kind of like interpret it. However, it's this happened. This is the deal. We're sorry.
You're the best. Thank you for
You're
coming
awesome.
In.
Yeah, of course.
Graham Elliott. What's a website people can go to? Give anything.
GrahamElliott.com or again, you know, social's taken over. So Instagram, Twitter,
Instagram.
It's all just
with
at Graham Elliott.
Go to Insta.
One T.
One T. Graham Elliott.
Love it.
It's 720 awesome. WGN.